Welcome to the Heart of the Athlete. This is Reggie Etheridge welcoming you to the radio program for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, featuring what God is doing in the hearts and lives of coaches and athletes in Idaho. Now, here are your hosts.
Well, hey, folks, welcome to the Heart of the Athlete, the local FCA radio show here on KBXL 94.1 FM. I'm Ken Lewis on staff with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes here in Idaho. And my guest today is not from Idaho, but he's a good friend, close friend, and on staff with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in our region in the Pacific Northwest, and that's Mr. Michael Hawks. Michael, welcome to Heart of the Athlete.
Wow, what an honor it is to be here with the Ken Lewis himself.
Well, it's great to have you in Boise. And you've been in Idaho just a few times in your life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been to our camp.
Yep,
you and your wife have been
to
our camp.
Yeah. I think the first one was 2017.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So we've been around here and there.
That's right. So. And then you were there a year and a half ago at our camp.
Yep.
You were our MC.
The MC.
Dean.
Yep.
And you had your wife and your son with us. And then your family's growing, right?
Yeah. We got one that's about to turn six, little boy. Got a little girl who just turned two, and got one in the oven on the way in April. So we're really excited.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, how long have you been, for our listeners, how long have you been on staff with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes?
Yeah, so actually, I think I'm coming up on year eight. I think I'm losing a little bit of track of time as well, but coming up on year eight, and started really straight out of college. I started as an area rep in the west side of Portland, Beaverton, Oregon, and started some ministry there for a couple years, and then got approached to potentially move into the marketing world, which was really new for FCA in a localized level. Kind of took that step, and then another step came down the road after that, and now leading in the region in a marketing capacity.
That's
it's been
awesome.
True blessing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of marketing, we want to talk about a few FCA events coming up, and then we're going to dive into your story.
Bring it on.
And we've got some really neat opportunities, some new things coming up here on March 8th. We have our first ever FCA Idaho Night of Champions. It's a fundraising gala. It's going to be at Boise State at the Stickle Sky Center there, right above the football field at Albertsons Stadium there at Boise State. And it's going to be a special night, and it's the first time we've ever done kind of a pure fundraising event here with FCA in Idaho. And my time, I'm coming up on 20 years on staff, and so we're excited about that. Folks, you can get more information at fcaidaho.org, and if you'd like to sponsor a table, you want to bring a table of eight, you want to bring some friends with you that want to help support FCA, we're going to have a silent auction, we're going to have a live auction. We've got some incredible things that are going to be available for people to purchase and bid on. Got some NFL games, some tickets, which is exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll be talking more about those in the future weeks here, but also some different vacation stuff. We got some hunts. I think we got a hog hunt in Texas.
Come on.
We got some Carolina Panther tickets. We're working on some Seahawk and some Kansas City Chiefs. We got some connections there. And then like a weekend stay at Silver Mountain Resort.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not a hunter. I can do that.
Yeah, and we got some other hunts too. So, and then there'll be a lot of silent auctions things too. But so anyway, and we'll have some special guests. We're going to actually acknowledge and award our FCA Idaho Male and Female Coach of the Year awards there, and our 2025 FCA Idaho Lifetime Achievement Award, which will be. That'll be fun to just brag on what God's been doing in the lives of some people that are just been doing some really neat stuff. So I'm excited about that. And then the very next Saturday, March 15th, we are having our first ever snowboard and ski one day clinic up at Tamarack Resort up there in Donnelly, and we're super excited to have Tom Gillis. He was a speaker last summer at our FCA camp. He's a former pro snowboarder. He was in the snowboarding arena early on in the snowboard, you know, late 80s, early 90s, and he owns a couple world records, crazy jumping out of things and off, you know, snowy ledges, and it's amazing. And so, folks, you can And that's going to be for incoming 7th through 12th graders. It's just a one day. We're providing transportation, lunch, and dinner. And you get to hear Tom speak three different times over the course of the day. We're going to have some incredible time of on the mountain. And we've got a church up in Cascade that's going to provide dinner, which is super cool. Calvary Cascade. Shout out to those guys and those gals. And so anyway, you get more information and you can register at fcaidaho.org. So, well, you mentioned your role is in marketing and creative design. But Michael, tell us a little bit about how did you get involved in sports as a kid? What were the other sports? I didn't even mention you played some college football and college soccer back in Virginia, right?
Yeah.
And and we're going to get to that. But how did you get started in sports?
Man, that's a good question. I really think just the community around me. I grew up in a small town, Virginia, football town. And it was like every Friday night, everybody was at the stadium. Every Saturday morning, we were back at the stadium for Pee Wee. And it was just kind of, you kind of just got farmed into playing football, the main three, football, basketball, or baseball, and started down there. And I remember one story specifically. My dad wanted me to play one of the big three, and I remember I was playing baseball, coach's pitch, and
how old were you again?
I think I was like 9 or 10
okay,
when I was playing coach's pitch, and nobody could hit it really far, so I guess I could have been a little bit younger than that. But the ball rolls out to me. I'm in the outfield. It's where the dirt meets the grass. I put my glove down. It hits right there where the grass meets the dirt. Shoots up, hits me in the throat.
Oh,
I fall down. Yeah. My dad's the coach. He comes out trying to encourage me and says, "You stopped a run." And I think I looked back at him and said, "I don't want to play baseball anymore."
Your Adam's apple is stuck in the back of your throat.
I don't want to play baseball anymore.
You couldn't talk for 3 weeks.
And so then I remember one of my friends playing soccer, and that was just not really a big sport where I came from. And I told my dad, I said, "I think I really want to try this." And one of my favorite memories is my dad took me to Dick's or Hibbett or whatever and got me cleats, got me shin guards. We went to Walmart and bought the video game FIFA because he had no idea what soccer was. And we stayed up all night learning what soccer was. And I showed up to practice the next day and scored a goal, and it was lights out after that. So played soccer for the majority of my childhood.
Wow.
And then dabbled back into football once I got to high school because I could kick a ball kind of far.
Wow.
It just changed shapes in different sports. And
that's cool.
Yeah. So.
So then you went on to college, and tell us where you went to school, and was it all soccer, or was it because of football you got in?
Yeah, yeah. So actually, they didn't really recruit in my neck of the woods for soccer. I think I could have played probably D3 or NAIA soccer, but I really got recruited to kick. I almost held a state record in Virginia, which is hurtful to this day, but kickers weren't big either, kind of where I was from. It was fourth down, go for it. You know, fourth down, go for it. If you were close to kicking a field goal, fourth down, go for it. But kind of we started kicking field goals. And so got recruited to play. I got a scholarship at an NAI school in Bluefield, West Virginia, little coal mining town.
What was your mascot?
The Rams.
The Rams.
Yeah, go Rams. And played there for a year and really struggled in that season because I played football, not because I really loved football, but I played it in high school because of the community that it brought me. Mm-hmm. I loved being with my friends all the time, even if I was, as they would say, just a kicker. It was good to be with them. And when I got to college, I kind of lost a little bit of that community. And so after that year, stopped playing and then transferred to Emory and Henry, it's now college or university.
And that's in Virginia.
Yeah, that's in Virginia too. Yeah, closer to the Tennessee line. So that's where I was. Kind of stopped playing sports at that time.
Well, tell us a little bit about your involvement with FCA. And I know that story is how you came to Jesus, right?
So
were you involved in FCA in high school at all?
No, we didn't have it. We didn't have it at all.
And did you grow up in the church?
My family, I think, I always was drawn towards the church. I feel like just looking back, just God's sovereignty always like pulling me through friends to go with them to something or go to a youth camp or whatever it may be. I never was a profound believer or anything like that, but my family started going to church here and there, and I didn't really see like any fruit in their lives. So I just thought it was just culturally, that's just what you do. And so I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. My parents split up when I was a senior in high school. And so
That was tough.
Yeah, it was really hard. And I remember on senior night specifically for football, walking with my parents, and they wouldn't talk to each other, they would talk to me. And it was just kind of this like weird picture as an athlete, young athlete, you know, to be like, oh, I'm the bridge that, you know. And so,
and a lot of kids
struggle with that now.
Still have to go through
Split households and broken down families. And so, yeah, when I got to college, I was kind of done with the whole Christianity thing. Like, I was like, if God is love and that love was in my parents' lives, I don't think I want anything to do with that.
Wow.
Yeah. And so when I got to Emory, you know, I'd come off of playing college football for a year and was really in a kind of a dark space, because it was kind of like, who am I now? I don't have sports. What's my purpose? Where do I belong? And kind of stuff like that. And I went, one of my best friends from childhood went to Emory and he played football, and he was like, hey man, just come to Emory. Just come to Emory. And so I went there, I was rooming with him, and on the first day we were moving in, this guy walks by and he's got this huge box, and I hope people will find this funny, but it was a Jack Daniels box that carried the bottles that I, and my buddy nudged me and said, you really want to be friends with that guy? And I was like, you're telling me, like, you know. And when I walked over there to introduce myself, I looked in his box and it was full of Bibles, systematic theology books, and I was like, oh no, I got gypped. Like, this guy is not who I thought he was. And so I remember sitting at lunch one time at Emory, and this same guy saw me sitting by myself, came up and sat beside me and said, who are you? I want to be your friend. And just started building a relationship with me, and he was the president of the FCA club at Emory.
Wow.
And so I kind of put on the mask. I grew up in the church. I kind of understood the stories, understood, you know, a little bit about the Bible. And so went to FCA, found a community there, found friendships there. And I remember my sophomore year at Emory, he said, hey, we're going to go to FCA College Advance in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And it's a
college
whole weekend.
Advance.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So a whole weekend for college athletes to come together, learn about Jesus, learn about one another. And he was like, you got to come. You have to come. You can't sit here by yourself. Everybody's going. All your friends are going. And I was like, I don't want to go. Like, in my heart, I was like, I don't want to hang out with Christians all weekend. Like, no offense, but that's the last thing I want to do. And I was like, well, how much is it? And he said, it's $50. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. Like, I don't have $50. And he's like, well, how much money do you have in your wallet right now? And I said, I have $12. And he said, you just got an FCA scholarship. So shout out to whoever that was.
So thank you, Lord.
Yeah,
for
thank
those
you, Lord,
folks
that gave an FCA scholarship. Yeah. Because without that, I wouldn't have gone.
Praise God.
And went to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I was sitting in a huddle with college athletes who were struggling with anxiety, struggling with depression, struggling with suicide ideation, but they had Jesus. And it blew my mind, because I grew up in a household where a family said, we love Jesus, but I didn't see him present in their lives. I saw these college athletes who were saying, we're struggling, but man, we have a high priest who has experienced all things that we've experienced, but knew no sin. And he's walking with us in this. And then that started to kind of reshape of how I thought of who Jesus was and is. I was like, okay, well, maybe this is like for real. And I remember that night, we actually heard about this at our real time, which is the gathering of our FCA staff. Frank Renoso, one of our FCA staffers.
Frank.
Yeah, he spoke at the Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I remember that night I heard for the first time God tell me that he loved me. And that's when I turned my life over to Jesus. My life was never the same. Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Wow.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, if you just join us here today on Heart of the Athlete, we're visiting with Michael Hawks, who is a marketing and creative design director and operates in that role for the Pacific Northwest FCA, which includes Idaho, Oregon, Montana, Washington, and Alaska. And I know recently you're actually kind of working from a different part of the Northwest, because you came, like you said earlier, you came on staff. Now you live in Virginia, but you're still part of that. But then, I mean, that's an amazing story, how God used an FCA weekend camp for college athletes. And like you said, you know, praise God for the people that gave to FCA, because there was some scholarship money, and it changed the trajectory of your life. Now, you met your wife, Alyssa, where at?
Yeah, so I remember I was sitting at this FCA College Advance, just gave my life to Jesus, and was kind of in a Paul moment. Was like, I'm done with dating. I'm done with, you know, women. Like, I want to give my full life to Christ. And I remember 3 months later, I saw her walk in, I guess with new eyes. She had been there all along.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, oh my, I'm going to go back on what I said. And so me and her, she grew up in a Christian home, kind of was at a place where she was starting to take her faith more seriously, not just saying, yes, I love Jesus, but also I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. And so I remember we started dating and hanging out, and I was like, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? You know, what are we doing after college? And she said, well, if you would want to marry me, I think I want to go. And I was like, what do you mean go? And she said, Matthew 28, the first word is the hardest. I want to go. And wherever the Lord tells me to go, it could be in my hometown, it could be in China, it could be wherever it could be.
Wow.
And so
missionary kind of maybe thoughts started to come. she was ready. Conversations.
Yeah, she was ready. And I was kind of nervous about that because I, again, just became a follower of Jesus and was like, okay, you know, cool, you know. And so she came up to me one day and she said, I believe it's Portland. And I was like, Portland, Maine? You know, like, and she said, no, Portland, Oregon. And I was like,
and you guys were married?
No, we were dating at this time and about to be engaged. Uh-huh. And I was like, Portland, Oregon. And she said yes. And so I wasn't there yet. Her heart was there. And she said, let's just start praying. And so we did, started praying. And a couple months later, it was actually a year and a half of praying, decided that Portland, Oregon was the place we wanted to be, because we had heard that it was one of the most unchurched cities. And we loved the local church and wanted to be a part of. We wanted to experience what it was like to be in a culture and in a society where it was like, man, I need to say, when I say I follow Jesus, like I want it to
show. There was like a big difference between the status quo and the culture.
Where I came from, and it was just like, I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. And so I graduated college December 2016, married my bride January 2017, February 5th, packed up our Kia Forte and hit the road and ended up in Portland, Oregon. And the whole story about coming on FCA staff was crazy. I was sitting in my history class my senior year and loved FCA, became the president of the club at the college because that guy discipled me. We're best friends till this day. And I said, man, I love FCA. Maybe we can help with that in Portland. I Googled it, saw our boss's face, Ryan Johnson, gave him a cold email and said, I'd love to help in any way. FCA changed my life. He called me and offered me a job on the spot. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Crazy.
Well, and then you and I met that summer of 17. And so you guys had just been married a year and a half, couple years.
No. About 6 months.
6 months. 7 months. At that point. Yeah. I just remember you guys just came in. You say, hey, we'll just serve wherever. And you guys just did everything. You know, go for this, go for that. I mean, you guys were all over, you know, just all the behind the scenes stuff and just willing to serve and help because there's this, you know, big need and a big camp like that.
Yes, absolutely.
And so many things going on, so many sports. And so again, to you and your wife, thank you.
Absolutely. What a joy it was.
Well, man, that's an amazing story of God's provision, but his faithfulness in you, but then you guys responding, taking that step, and then, and both of you being willing to do that and you guys keeping in step with each other.
Absolutely.
And, you know, God calls us, all of us, all of our listeners, all you and I, too.
Every one of us.
You know, he's calling us to be his hands and feet, to receive his love, mercy, grace, and truth, and like a sponge, and then wring it out and give it to others. It's kind of simple when you put it in those terms what he wants us to do. But so this marketing creative role that you serve for not only Pacific Northwest, but you're also on a larger scale team.
With I help out with global marketing and everything like that.
Which is really cool. And you've done a lot of video, some great videos for us and, and for our camp and, and many testimony videos and from staff in the Portland, Seattle area, which is really cool. But what I love too is how FCA comes out with a theme every year. They used to kind of unveil it in the winter and the spring for the camp season, so it would kind of unroll really to everybody, the coaches and athletes, in like May, June, July in camp season, and then kind of carry through maybe with in huddles in the fall and the winter, but then have a new camp theme. But I love the way our new rhythm is it comes out in January, folks, and then it goes through December. So huddles, our school clubs can dive into this content, team studies, college, junior high, high school, you know, our FCA sport teams can dive into it in the spring and the summer and the fall. And we've kind of, it's kind of been a neat little new rhythm. And I know you've been a part of that.
Yeah.
And so our theme this year, folks, is glory. And I know you were a part of this, you know, and I just want to read this verse, 2 Corinthians, right? 3:18. We all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians, that's Paul. Chapter 3, verse 18. And I love these sub themes of chasing glory, revealed glory, reflecting glory, and lasting glory. And that these are all sub themes within this main theme of glory. So you tell us a little bit about that for you. What does this mean for you, Michael? I know we have about you know, 5 minutes or so here. But what does that mean for you as you were part of this development team? But then maybe give us a little glimpse behind the scenes.
Yeah, man, what an honor it is to be in that room with people from all over the world who are praying, seeking the Lord's face on what do coaches and athletes need for this next season of their life. And the theme is really to reach an inch farther than maybe the FCA cross can. It's like a it's a branding model or a wrapping paper that we can put around to deliver a not the gospel doesn't change, but the wrapping paper around it could change in a lot of different ways in different contexts. And so what's beautiful is it's not just us getting in a room and saying, hey, what sounds cool now? And we just pick from scripture. We actually do a lot of surveying on real coaches and athletes' lives and say, what do you need in this season? Then run to the word in prayer. And then from the word, pulling out what is it revealing? And we found that glory was something that's super prevalent within the sports environment. Whether it's, I want my name in the banners in the stadiums. I want my trophies. I want this. I want the rings. I want all this. I want it to be about me. I want it to be about how I'm chasing my glory. And we saw that that pressure is absolutely crushing. Glory in a very elementary term is weight. The definition of it is weight. And what we were seeing in our research is that coaches and athletes are carrying a weight that they're not supposed to carry, a pressure. And even we do that as fans. We put a pressure upon our favorite team, our favorite quarterback, our favorite whatever it may be, athlete, to carry the glory or our worship for their glory.
Absorb it for themselves.
Yes. Yeah. And so what we saw was we want to take coaches and athletes on a journey from January to December where they're chasing their glory to transforming it to say, no, I'm chasing His glory, because there's only one in all the universe that can hold that glory, and that's Christ Himself. And so it's a beautiful thing, because we want it to be almost like a triggering thing, like, yeah, I want glory. For coaches and athletes that maybe don't know Jesus, I want my own glory. Help me learn how to get my own glory. But through the journey, realizing it's not about that at all. Yeah. And how can I use my platform as sport, as a worship center, or as a mission field, to as a coach or an athlete to say, hey, it's not about me. It's about God's glory. And we see that, you know, whether it's the Ohio State football team and they're baptizing people and giving God glory, or if it's the Boise State team and everything that happened there with the coach, the head coach, and that guy saying, man, I came to Boise State to meet this coach and change my life forever. Like that type of stuff is pointing towards a different glory. And what's beautiful is we get to reflect that glory. We're being made from glory to glory, as the text says. And there is a lasting glory, one looking forward to Christ coming, but then getting to see His kingdom come to earth as it is in heaven, and seeing that glory replicated through image bearers, disciples of Jesus in the sports environment. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Praise Jesus. Yeah, you're right. I mean, we need to be a sponge, or actually, we need to be a mirror. We need to reflect His glory rather than a sponge to soak it all up in of ourselves. And it's easy to fall into that and not give Him the glory. I love what you guys put together. It says, once upon a time, I strive for individual success leading to self-serving glory. And every day I lack the ability to live up to the expectations placed on me, like you were talking. But until one day, God showed me He can do more with my surrender than my performance. And now I reflect God's glory as a disciple maker, which you talked about earlier, Matthew 28 with Melissa, because I seek His kingdom first, Matthew 6:33, and seek His kingdom first and His righteousness, and then all those other things will then take care of themselves. But we always, you know, as us humans, we, even when we're walking with Christ, we
absolutely we
need to be reminded of that. And man, it's so good. It's so good.
We're really excited about it. We're really excited because, I mean, yeah, any of us, I think we made it for coaches and athletes, but if you really sit with glory, it reveals a lot of, man, me as a missionary, I take a lot of glory to myself. I'm trying to build my own kingdom. I'm trying to build my own, this is my ministry, whatever it may be. Whether it's at your job, I'm trying to climb the corporate ladder, or I'm trying to, you know, get the next best thing or get that next best vacation. Like, we're continually striving for these things that will never actually satisfy, and it starts to crush us. And, but to see it as, wait, no, everything in my life has been given to me so that I can be, you know, when your like phone is out and the sun hits the phone and it kind of hits you in the eye and you're like, oh, it's bright. I'm the phone. And Christ is shining His light upon my life in order that others would be like, whoa, what's that reflecting off of you? And you can point them to the one who has so the glory.
Well, hey, Michael, I know we've been talking about this glory, this new FCA glory theme. Maybe some of our listeners are wanting to be able to access it. Maybe their kids are involved in FCA and they help lead an FCA huddle, or they have a team Bible study, or maybe even they want to unpack this with their their youth group at their church. This is free, right?
Yeah, it's all free. FCAglory.org. You can get handbooks, devotional series, discovery Bible studies, whatever it you need resource-wise to help you start that journey from going from chasing my own glory to seeking His glory.
So good. Wow. Time has gone by so fast, ATA, Michael. Yeah. Hey, we need to do this again. I know you're going to be flying out here. Mm-hmm. You've been here in Boise this week with mm-hmm. our regional staff. I've been able to be part of hosting you, mm-hmm. our state directors, mm-hmm. and then you know, and our regional advancing team and our regional director. But it's been great to have you on. We need to do this again.
I'd love to.
I feel like there's more. And we could do it by phone.
Yeah, we can.
Would that be good?
I got podcast stuff in Virginia.
All right, that'd be great. Well, folks, we've been listening today with Michael Hawks, and who is our Marketing Creative Design Director for the Pacific Northwest FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And Michael, man, it's been such a blessing to have you on Heart of the Athlete today. Thank you.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening today. If you are interested in getting involved with FCA or would like to donate to the FCA ministry, you can contact us through the FCA Idaho website at fcaidaho.org. Join us next week for The Heart of the Athlete, a production of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in Idaho and KBXL, The Voice. Yeah.